Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Good afternoon, everybody. On a Thursday, the back half of the week here on News Radio 930 WBEN, so much to get to, so little time, which was the name of an ABC Family show back in the day. I'm sure Jimmy knows what I'm talking about. We are going to talk about the press conference that we heard at noon in Buffalo, talking about a shooting in Buffalo that could be the result of bail reform. I'll explain that to you. Also, nuclear energy in Dunkirk, and obviously the public media defunding. We'll get into that. Also, former DA John Flynn will join us at 2:40 to talk about bail reform. You know, something that he many times pushed back on his own party when he was district attorney. Want to get his thoughts on this and just how did this happen? We'll lay that out for you all here in the next 2 hours. But first, this is a story that I ran into yesterday. Buffalo Brewing was vandalized, and they are asking for your help to get things back running. John Domries is the owner of Buffalo Brewing and joins us now. John, how you doing?
Joe, how are you?
Doing all right, man. So explain to us exactly what happened.
Yeah, so our brewery, we have two locations. Our tap room and original brewery is located at Myrtle and Spring in the Larkin District. And our production brewery is located in the old Schreiber Brewery on Fillmore Ave, right near the Broadway Market. So we're a 10-barrel production brewery. There, we don't have retail, and our chilling unit that cools the beer that's in process. So that cools the beer that allows us to keg and can, and also allows us to brew beer, was vandalized, and essentially rendered useless for a couple hundred bucks worth of aluminum. The evaporator was basically stripped, and it was reduced to a pile of rubble in our backyard in a fenced area. And it had sat back there for 4 years, no issues. We have noticed a spike in crime in our neighborhood in the last, 6 months. And I love that you're going to be talking to John Flynn about bail reform, because I think that has a lot to do with this said spike in crime.
Oh, 100%. Now, before this, were you guys affected at all by the crime? I mean, maybe just, foot traffic being affected by crime.
At Myrtle, no. Larkin is a beautifully restored neighborhood. When we bought the building, it was not that way, but it's honestly a true example of how you go about revitalizing neighborhoods on the east side. Start with the commercial buildings, then hopefully infill with residential. So Myrtle's been beautifully, no touching there. It's been fine. But Fillmore, you know, we've always dealt with petty larceny, stuff getting stolen out of the parking lot, you know, guys coming in, rummaging through my garbage cans and stuff like that. But this, you know, it was all just little BS. And now this is, you know, it's essentially halted all our operation for production of beer. We do have plenty of beer to sell for probably the next month, but after that, we're on our own. Insurance companies doing what they do best, denying claims. And here I am with a GoFundMe to try and restore my livelihood and the livelihood of my staff. So it sucks.
And that GoFundMe, already at 6,100, pretty good. Is there a link to it? Or do you go to GoFundMe? I have the link on my Facebook page, but how can people find it?
They can find it on our Instagram page, our Facebook page. I'm going to be sharing updates as we go through this journey because, you know, it's really touching. My friend Pete Galvin always said Buffalo is a beer drinking town, and I think we're really seeing it, that they want to see us pull through and succeed. And I'm so blessed to be in the city. They got our back, and I can't thank the community enough for that. I mean, I'm touched. I'm breaking down right now because it's $6,100 in about 24 hours. It's impressive to say the least.
Now you say you have about a month's supply, right? Right now, how much would it be to? How long will it take to get things back running once you have that vital equipment? How does that process work for you guys?
So once we hit the GoFundMe goal of, we basically need about $12,000 to get the chiller loaded on a truck and shipped to us, and then it'll probably take another couple weeks. We have about 100 barrels or 3,100 gallons of beer that were in the tanks at the time of the vandalism. Most of that is going to go down the drain, so it's going to take us a few weeks to get restarted. So we're probably looking at, you know, if everything goes well, we could maybe restart brewing in September, maybe early August, but I don't know. And have everything restored back to the way it was before the incident by October. So it's breweries, you know, we have a nice stockpile of inventory, but these things take time. Beer, you know, lagers take 6 to 8 weeks and ales take, you know, about 4 weeks. So it's not going to be a quick recovery. And I've been very transparent with our customers that they're going to start seeing beers that they love fall off of our tap board because we don't have an ability to back them up. So I appreciate everyone bearing with us through this time, and I appreciate you having me on your show, fellow Amherst alumni. So it's touching the way all these people have come and rallied around me, and it's remarkable.
So there is beer that has to get poured that will not make it.
Yes, 3,100 gallons.
Oh man. Okay, so for the tap room, for the retail, business as usual for now.
For now, until we run out of product. Yeah, we stuffed our walk-in cooler ahead of the 4th of July break. So we have plenty of product in there, but it goes faster than you think. Kegs, you know, we're trying to sell kegs to our regulars that buy kegs from us every week. And we're just trying to keep business as usual as long as possible at Myrtle. And just, you know, when the time comes, we'll shut down and we'll sit on our hands and wait. But I'm hoping this GoFundMe can at least hit a $12,000 goal to start, so we can get the chiller to Buffalo from San Diego. That's where it is. It's ready to be loaded on the truck. We're just missing the money. And then we probably have about a week and a half, 2 weeks of installation, because we're going to move the chiller from its outdoor location inside the facility now, so it'll be safe from harm. So there won't be anyone that will be able to vandalize it after that.
Well, that's good. The vandalists, have they been caught?
No, they haven't. Unfortunately, we didn't have a camera on this piece of equipment. It had sat there since 2021. Luckily, the neighbor behind us has a camera, and BPD detectives are working with that. A gentleman, he's a big supporter of us and wants us to succeed. So he's working with detectives now to see if we can get anything. The issue with the Broadway Fillmore area and the greater east side is that most of these guys that are vandalizing businesses, the same night that our building was hit, St. Stan's Roman Catholic Church on Peckham was also hit. They're walking. So even if we get a video of these guys damaging the chiller, There's going to be nothing that is going to, you know, we think it happened around 11:30 at night. So there's going to be no license plate. There's going to be nothing to really identify these guys. And unfortunately at night, you know, it's really hard to pick up a face and stuff like that. So we're hoping and praying, but I mean, even if we did get them, they'd probably just get a slap on the wrist and return to society for them to harm another business, which is pretty awful, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Now, so John, let's get that money to you. Let's get that chiller back. GoFundMe.com. It's help replace Buffalo Bruins vital equipment. I've got it on my Facebook page. It's on Buffalo Brewing social media. And John, any updates you have throughout this, feel free to come on back.
Great, Joe. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime, man. That is John Domries. He is the owner and brewer at Buffalo Brewing Company, Amherst alum. You know, we've got to stick with each other, the Amherst alum and the Medi alum. You know, you hear me talk about that all the time. And, you know, a local business, hey, we are a drinking town with a sports problem, right? That's what we hear all the time. So if you can help out this local business, let's help them get that that chiller and help them get business back on track. You know, it's unfortunate. And like he said, I mean, even if they catch these individuals, it will just be a slap on the wrist. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing. And now, and you see where it's affecting business, not just by, you know, affecting business downtown, as we heard. People don't want to go downtown. They don't feel safe. And now it's affecting business by, I mean, hey, John's got everything running for now, right? The beers at the retail, they're all running for now. But eventually the beer's going to run out. And this is a process to get things back going again. All because some vandals were able to get in there and, you know, sell the aluminum for a few hundred dollars. And again, they're not scared of consequence because if they get caught, you know, what are they going to get, right? They'll be back out, and they'll be able to do this again. And this is exactly what we've been talking about so much with people just, you know, not, there's no consequence, especially if these vandals were under 18, you know, they'll get treated as juveniles, even lesser of a punishment. So we want to help local business. That's, you know, we are live and local, and we want to help the local business, especially good local business that gives back to the community. So Buffalo Brewing, if you can help them out, they've got the GoFundMe. Like I said, it's on their social medias, Buffalo Brewing and Company, Buffalo Brewing Company, and on my social medias, Joe Beamer on Facebook, at the Joe Beamer on Twitter. If you can, that would be great. Let's get them back on their feet and let's get the beer brewing again, right? Summertime. Now, this isn't the only crime thing we're going to talk about today, because about an hour, 20 minutes ago, there was a press conference in the city of Buffalo with Mayor Scanlon and talking about a homicide in the city of Buffalo. And when you hear the history of the person who's on the loose, by the way, here's a clip from that press conference.
Shortly after midnight last night, Buffalo police responded to a shooting call of a person shot in the 600 block of South Ogden Street in the city of Buffalo. That investigation was quickly turned over to the homicide unit, where a female victim, a 44-year-old female victim, succumbed to her wounds. Shortly after midnight last night, the female victim ultimately died from her wounds. And that case is ongoing. We currently have multiple agencies. As the council president said, we have multiple agencies working with us to have this case come to a quick resolution. He was born in 1976. He's a 49-year-old male. He is African-American. He is previously in a domestic relationship with the victim. And the information we have received during this investigation lead us to want to talk to him. There was a incident in May where the suspect was arrested with a handgun during a burglary of the victim's house. He was arrested by Buffalo police, taken into custody. Shortly after that, he was released, and then shortly after that, there was a criminal contempt arrest made by Buffalo police when the suspect in the homicide allegedly violated that order of protection. Shortly after that, there was a criminal contempt arrest made by Buffalo Police when the suspect in the homicide allegedly violated that order of protection, at which point he was released again. With both of those cases, there was one case where he was released on his own recognizance, and the second one, he had a $50,000 bail.
Okay, all that, the important thing here is this guy is on the loose. They knew this guy was, I wouldn't say, they knew this guy was, let's be honest, targeting this woman. I mean, he broke into her house with a handgun. He was arrested again in relation to this former girlfriend of his. He's also out of jail from a homicide in 96. The suspect received a life prison in 1996 after pleading guilty to second-degree murder. Charged in the death of a bystander during a gun attack last summer on a rival Buffalo drug gang. The sentencing came after he pled guilty. The Erie County judge ordered that this individual spends at least 23 years in prison. Okay? Up to life. At least 23, up to life. Now, this person was let out of jail in 2023. Then found with a handgun, breaking into someone's apartment with a handgun. This is a guy who pled guilty to murder in 96. How was this guy ever allowed back on the street? He's obviously a danger to society. You let him out of jail in 23. You arrest him again on a gun charge? Am I wrong? He's a murderer. He was guilty of second-degree murder in 1996. How does he get arrested for breaking and entering with a gun, and somehow he's back on the street? And then he violates the order of protection again, arrested again, and he gets to walk again. I mean, how many times are stories like this going to happen? Where now there's a poor woman deceased, and what, we're going to have the press conference, we're going to talk about how awful this is, but there's not going to be any changes. Sean Ryan, you proposing a change in Albany? April Baskin, anything? John Rivera? Anyone in Albany actually proposing to make sure stuff like this could never happen again? To make sure that the people who belong in jail are in jail? This is a complete failure, again, of this system. And there's no admitting of, hey, we went too far, we did things wrong. I mean, this is only my second week on the air, and we have seen the reasons, the issues with raise the age. We've seen the issues with the bail reform. Again, I keep on saying, the state seems to cater more to the criminal than the law-abiding citizen. And if I am an elected official in Albany, I am furious right now. How does this guy get back on the street? How is this guy not in jail? You violated, twice you broke the law within your own, you break the law to begin with. Yeah, I heard once three strikes and you're out. I think in this situation, should have been on the second arrest, breaking into someone's house with a gun. By the way, that person, you know, the house he broke into, that's the person he ended up killing. But you know what? We'll find the guy, he'll get put away, and then the politicians in Albany will just move on, forget it ever happened, can't go and revisit the bail reform. God forbid we go and visit the bail reform. This is a shame on every elected official who has refused to look back at the bail reform, who has refused to look back and get and make things right and protect the law-abiding citizen. Protect the citizens of your community. This guy never should have been let out of jail, in my opinion. But the politicians in Albany, what do they care about? Hey, whoa. We need to pass more feel-good legislation. You feeling good about this? You feeling good about this, Sean Ryan? No? 803-0930-930. I'd like to get your take on it. John Flynn will join us at 240 to give his take on it on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hey, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Mayor Chris Scanlon will be joining us at 2:10 to talk about this incident in the city of Buffalo, and John Flynn, former DA, will join us at 2:40 to talk about the bail reform and everything. But again, this is the suspect is an individual who received life in prison, or up to life in prison, in 1996 for a murder that he pled guilty to. He and another guy pled guilty to second-degree murder. He was let out in 23. Again, he was then arrested for breaking in with a gun. This is a guy who was let out of prison after being, you know, after being found guilty or pleading guilty for murder. He had possession of a firearm, and he still was able to then walk the streets again. And I don't know how many times this story has to play out. It's again and again and again. So we're going to talk about that with Mayor Chris Scanlon right off the top after the 2 o'clock news. And then former DA John Flynn will join us at 2:40 to talk about bail reform and that. So we will be talking about that, as I said, in the next hour, throughout that hour. Another thing in the news that I want to pivot to before we bring on our guests, is this nuclear energy in Dunkirk. This is getting a lot of attention after a meeting on Tuesday night. You heard the mayor, the Dunkirk mayor, on with Susan and Brian this morning. And she says, you know, people are split. They have concerns about safety. Others think it's exactly what Dunkirk needs. And I want to know from you, because I have a few thoughts on this, 803-0930, star 930, is a town like Dunkirk that needs a shot in the arm, to quote the mayor, is nuclear energy worth it? Is it worth the risk? I will tell you this, I always get uneasy when I hear about nuclear energy, right? Because, yes, my mind goes to Three Mile Island. My mind goes to Chernobyl and the accidents that have happened. Now, I realize we are talking about decades ago, but the risk is still there for an accident. And, you know, once the accident happens, I mean, a lot of people are SOL, right? So, like I said, I get uneasy about nuclear energy. I know I wouldn't want it in my backyard. I don't think I could ever advocate to have it in someone else's backyard. I will say this. I am very consistent. If I don't think something would be good in my neck of the woods, I'm not going to advocate for it. Unless, you know, hey, everyone approves of it unanimously and they don't have an issue. But for me, I can't say yes, let's do that there when I would not, you know, if it was in Clarence, I would say, oh my gosh, please, no. But what do you think? What do you think? Listeners in Dunkirk, do you feel this is worth the risk? Because I've got some stats here, and I don't want to be like the doom guy, right? I don't want to be the one that's scaring people and everything is the worst case scenario. Because, yes, I understand the state wants clean energy, and Kathy Hochul has directed the New York Power Authority to build nuclear power plants somewhere in upstate New York. Now, again, the Dunkirk mayor is looking into it. And by the way, let's hear. This is Susan Rose and her rap on what the Dunkirk mayor said.
Now that Governor Hochul has directed the New York Power Authority to build a nuclear power plant somewhere in upstate New York, the city of Dunkirk is having discussions. Mayor Kate Doiaz says it's an exciting opportunity if the community supports it.
People are split on the issue. They still have concerns about safety. But modern nuclear looks very, very different than it did in the past. And there are people who think that this is exactly the shot in the arm that the city of Dunkirk's economy needs.
The NRG power plant, a coal-fired energy facility, has been shuttered for almost a decade. The loss of the plant took a big hit on Dunkirk's economy. Susan Rose, WBEN.com News.
It did. NRG has been gone for about 10 years. It occupies 65 acres there in Dunkirk, and they would like to propose that as a nuclear energy site. I'll go back to, I know there are very successful nuclear energy plants that have never had any issue, right? You talk about these micro nuclear energy where they were proposing this in North Tonawanda at some point. But when you hear, like for me, it's just hearing what nuclear power plants do, right? Nuclear power plants are energy released by the decay of certain radioactive isotopes to produce electricity. Additional radioactive isotopes are produced during this process. In nuclear power plants, specifically designed fuel rods, and we all know what happens when there's an issue with the fuel rod, right? And containment structures enclose the radioactive materials to prevent them and the ionizing radiation they produce from contaminating the environment. If the fuel and surrounding containment structures are severely damaged, radioactive materials and ionizing radiation may be released, potentially posing a health risk to people. The actual risk depends on the specific types of radioactive materials, how much radiation someone is exposed to, how long, how a person comes in contact with the released radioactive materials. Now, again, I know we're talking about if something malfunctions, but we have seen the devastation when a power plant malfunctions, has a malfunction, and what happens to the community, and what happens to the area, and the health of the people surrounding it. So, again, if you live in Dunkirk and this is what you're all about and you think it's worth the risk for the economy, great. But I don't want to see people from the state, I don't want to see people getting shamed into accepting this. Because, you know, I look at this and I go, I would not want that in my backyard. I wouldn't want that around where I'm raising my child. But I can also see someone saying, well, you know, we need jobs. the economy here is struggling, especially in Dunkirk. But one wrong move, and I mean, how was rebuilding the economy just for, I mean, one wrong move at this nuclear plant, and the economy is going to sink further than it is now. So just something to consider. Now, I posed this question on my Facebook page, Joe Beamer on Facebook, and a listener said, "I vote for nuclear all day long. I have watched a ton of podcasts on this. We need to get on board with alternative energy sources ASAP. It's not windmills. It's not solar." Now, a listener put that, to which Supervisor Brian Nowak commented that he agrees on the need for nuclear. "The development of battery technology is going to make solar power the best renewable option we have once we get to solid-state batteries and sodium-based batteries. I agree in expanding nuclear too. I know people have mixed feelings about it. Some people really don't like it, but if we're going to get renewable energy sources that meet our energy demand for data centers in AI and air conditioning and all these intensive demands on the grid, we're going to need nuclear." That's mainly based on what the state of New York wants to see and get rid of anything powered by gas, right? The state of New York wants everything on the grid or nuclear energy. And that's another question I have. Is the risk of nuclear energy, does that outweigh the demand or outweigh the harms that New York State tells us about fossil fuels? And again, I would say, I know Kathy Hochul, I know Albany doesn't like fossil fuel, but that is something we've been using forever. It works. It doesn't have the risk, in my opinion, of nuclear energy. And that is where, for me, why don't we look into a way to keep on using fossil fuels? Now, I know this is the state's initiative, is they want all the fossil fuels out of the state. They don't want any gas, any fuel, no anything. I don't think that's realistic. And again, I think there are people out there that wouldn't want to trade that for the risk of nuclear energy. So it's a problem the state has, but it's been caused by Kathy Hochul. It's a problem the state has because Kathy Hochul is trying to get fossil fuels out of here by 35, which isn't realistic, isn't going to happen. It's completely messed with new builds. So not only is it worth the risk to spike your economy, is it worth the risk? Do those risks, or does the fossil fuel risks outweigh a nuclear power plant in your backyard? And the risk for contaminating the air, contaminating the water. Again, I don't want to be Mr. Doom. I don't want to be Mr. Negative. I try to be optimistic. I try to see the best in everything. Personally, I don't believe it's worth the risk for either. And maybe it's the state that needs to take a look at their fossil fuel initiatives. Because the grid wouldn't be facing this overpowering if the state wasn't trying to jam everything electric and get rid of anything gas, trying to jam electric cars. The grid's not prepared for that. So it's a problem, in my opinion, caused by the state. What do you think? 803-0930-930. Chris is in West Seneca. Chris, your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't trust New York State at all. Everything's a money grab for them. And who knows the cause and effect of anyone standing over under an electric power line or having your house next to a power line and what it does to the human body, let alone her claiming that natural gas is bad for the human body, which I doubt sincerely. And the other problem is, infrastructurally speaking, how much copper do you need to use? How much wire you need to use? We don't even recycle wisely, by the way. all this is a cause and effect. I mean, they're just costing people out of the state. They're chasing businesses out of the state. Poor Dunkirk, they shut down the NRG for no reason off of their own narrative, and they have no tax base for it. Where's the new jobs that are going to be created from this? Where are they going with this? New York State can't be the largest employer, and that's a huge problem. And there's people that neglectfully don't pay their bills. And unfortunately, a lot of them work for New York State, technically, collecting a welfare check. I hate to say it, but it's just not viable.
No, and that's a good point you make about, you know, how many people do we want working for New York State? I mean, I think the state would love to have control of everybody. I mean, if it was up to them.
No, I agree. And by the way, I was shocked. Buffalo News actually had a nice article, and I was shocked to see how much Sean Ryan was making as an assemblyman. Oh, my gosh. Incredible.
Isn't it crazy? And they voted for their own raise. So if
yes.
He'll probably vote for a raise as soon as he's in the city hall. Oh, I need more money for this.
Yeah. Maybe his line will be, you on a love coming here.
I still can't see that commercial without laughing, Chris. I appreciate the call. Chris in West Seneca. Obviously, he's referring to former mayor Byron Brown. And I just still, I'm not used to the former mayor on those commercials, you know, talking about the great food and entertainment and all that. But, you know, that's the former mayor. And then we'll have another former mayor, Chris Scanlon, who, by the way, will join us in 10 minutes here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, I don't trust New York State. And again, this is an issue that they have caused. They are causing the issue. They're overpowering the grid. And I don't want you to think that this show is always going to be me just blaming the political left, because there's plenty of things I can blame the political right on. But, I mean, when you have Democrats locally, Erie County Democrats, who have come on this station and said that we don't have the grid prepared for what they're proposing, well, why don't you take that message to Albany? Why isn't Pat Burke go to Albany with the message from Erie County Democrats? Why don't Democrats in Albany see the reality that Democrats in Erie County see? A couple Democrats in the Erie County legislature. Let's be honest what we're saying here. I don't want to say that all Democrats in Erie County are seeing things clearly, because obviously, I mean, Mark Poloncarz, the county executive, is a big supporter of getting rid of fossil fuels and going, you know, overpowering the electric grid. It's just the reality of what's been proposed. So then you have to look at other sources. Wind's not going to get you there. Solar, as it stands, I don't think will get you there. And nuclear power does propose a risk. I mean, it does pose a risk. Let's go to Dave in South Buffalo. Dave, what do you think of nuclear power?
Well, just recently I happened to look up this issue online, and I found an article in the New York Times. It was called How New York City Gets Its Electricity. And I'll give you this one line from this. Nearly 60% of the state's electricity is consumed in New York City area, where only 40% is made. Now, we in Western New York, we have a power plant, right? We have our own already. And we take that because of bad leadership. That power is now transmitted all the way across state to New York City, where it becomes more expensive and we lose power in transmission. So they need the power over there. We already have a power plant here. The power plant should be going over there. It should be somewhere between Albany and New York City. But that's not where they want to put it.
No, they want to put it in Western New York, away from New York City, but New York City will benefit. Kind of sounds like New York State in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point, Dave. Appreciate the call. Dave in South Buffalo. Yeah, I mean, this is for energy for downstate, right? Of course. It's for downstate. They don't want to build it there. Oh, no, we can't have nuclear power plants over here, so we'll put them somewhere in Western New York. From the Western New York governor, who, she talks about how much she loves Western New York, yet the New York Post says that she's trying to rid herself of that, as she has an apartment in Manhattan. She's, you know, in New York City more than she's in Buffalo. But to be fair, at least she's still in New York State. The same can't be said about the county executive. So I guess she gets a point there. 803-0930, star 930. Nuclear energy, this is something we'll continue to talk about, obviously, as the story goes on. I mean, this is something that the governor proposed, and we've heard of talk about it in Niagara Falls. Now we're hearing talk about it in Dunkirk. So it won't be the last time that comes up. When we come back from the top of the hour news with Mr. Tom Puckett, we are going to be talking with Mayor Chris Scanlon about this suspect in a homicide in the city of Buffalo. There was a press conference about it at noon. Tom Puckett will have some of that for you at the top of the hour. This was a man. The suspect is a man who was released from prison in 23 after being sentenced up to life in prison in 1996 for a homicide and pleading guilty to second-degree murder. This individual was then also arrested after breaking into this woman's house with a gun. He was released again, then arrested again for breaking for breaking another agreement, back on the street, and now he is wanted in the murder of his former girlfriend. Again, we will talk with Mayor Chris Scanlon after the news with Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, welcome back. Hour number two here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We will be talking with Mayor Chris Scanlon in just a few seconds here on the show, talking about everything we know about this suspect and this shooting in the city of Buffalo early this morning that did result in the death of the victim. And the individual, what we know about him is he was arrested and sentenced in 1996 for a murder that he pled guilty to, second-degree murder charges, was released in 23 and then arrested at least a couple times since then, but each time let back on the street here in Buffalo. And 2 months ago, he was arrested for breaking into the home of the victim with a gun. Again, released, back on the street, and now at large, as we speak this afternoon, and the woman he shot has passed away. Joining us now is the mayor of Buffalo, Mayor Chris Scanlon. Mayor, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Hope all's going well today.
Let's get started with what we know at this moment, starting with early this morning.
Early this morning, there was a homicide that took place on South Ogden Street. Unfortunately, the community lost a young woman in that incident. There's a person of interest that the police department is looking for, and currently in the process of that. So if anyone, the Buffalo Police Department has put information out regarding this person. If anyone sees that and has any information, I'm urging them to please reach out to the Buffalo Police Department.
Before we get into what we know about the suspect, do we believe this suspect is still in Buffalo?
I have no reason to think otherwise at this point. Nothing that we are aware of has led us to believe that at this point. But again, we want to be very careful about certain information that I do put out.
All right. And this guy, no stranger to the law, arrested in 96 for second degree murder, released. And since he's been released, has also ended up a few times in jail. To what one time, I believe the DA asked for the judge to not release him, correct?
Correct. Just earlier this year, and 4 days apart, was arrested twice. The second time, the district attorney requested that he be held without bail, was released despite violating an order of protection, things of that nature. It is illegal for him to possess a firearm, things like that. So someone who is clearly not interested in following the law And this is something we've been dealing with for the last 4 or 5 years since some of these bail reform measures have been implemented. And I've been very clear when I talk about it. Listen, when we talk about the criminal justice system in this country, yeah, there's some changes that need to be made. But some of the actions that took place with the New York State Legislature 4 or 5 years ago have made our community less safe, and there's no denying that.
You know, like you said, I mean, this is a guy that was, you know, released after being in jail for second-degree murder. He's not allowed to possess a firearm. I mean, how does that guy end up back on the street? How is that guy not thrown back in jail for years?
Yeah, and that's my question today. You know, we have someone that lost their life today because this person was given chance after chance after chance after chance. And but this person wasn't given a chance. And now families without a person in their family, a lovely young woman who is no longer with us. And again, another example, and we've seen too many of them, where despite someone's repeated lack of adherence to the law, is able to roam around our community as if nothing's wrong.
Do you think something like this will get action in Albany? You know, we've got local state senators who are in Albany. They're supposed to be fighting for Buffalo. I mean, how much does it take? How much more will it take for our elected officials in Albany to consider, you know, I mean, this isn't even a partisan thing. You're a Democrat and you're calling for it. So what do you think it's going to take?
It should. It should motivate them to change legislation. You know, as I said, 4 or 5 years ago when this stuff was taking place at the state legislature, myself and another council member at the time were very clear about the unintended consequences of this, and no one really wanted to hear it. And we've been very clear with our state representatives that it shouldn't have taken place in the first place, but you've seen issues time and time again where this community has been impacted because of the changes in that legislation, and have asked for things to be repealed, and it hasn't happened. But if something like this doesn't motivate them to make changes that are necessary, I'm not quite sure what will.
You know, we hear so many times when we talk about, you know, going into the city and doing things either downtown or whatever, and people say, well, you know, one of the big concerns is bail reform and the people that are allowed back on the street. And, you know, you don't want to see an example of it. And unfortunately, this is a glaring example of why people are scared to go to certain parts of the city or the city at all.
Yeah. And so during my time as mayor, we've tried to push back against that narrative and let people know that, you know, City Buffalo is safer than it has been. And our officers are doing a tremendous job. One thing we've been doing is making sure our officers are out more visible, interacting with the community, trying to close that gap between the community and police officers and make sure that people feel safer and simultaneously act as a deterrent to anything that might be going on. And I think if you take a look at some of those crime numbers, you see them heading in that direction.
Speaking of those numbers, I mean, how many things have you been able to look at as mayor or even before your time as mayor? I mean, you've been involved with the city that you've been able to look at and say this is a direct result of the bail reform. How many things can you think off the top of your head?
Yeah, do you mean specific incidents?
Specific incidents that if it weren't for bail reform, this incident wouldn't have happened. This, you know, this scar wouldn't have been on Buffalo.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that take place on a daily basis that through the changes in legislation continue to happen. If you look at auto thefts and the fact that no one's really held accountable and you have people who are released with it the same day and back out stealing a car the same day or other instances like that, there's plenty of examples on a daily basis where legislation that has come through the state level has really negatively impacted the safety and quality of life here in the city. And like you said, this isn't a partisan thing. This is about public safety. This is about quality of life. If we can't keep people safe, if our residents aren't safe, we're not able to really do anything else. If people don't feel comfortable walking to the corner store, going to a local restaurant, or coming downtown to see a Sabres game or a Bisons game or go to Shays, and if kids don't feel safe going to school, I mean, what are we doing? Right? You can't really accomplish much else if people aren't safe or don't feel safe. So that's been my number one priority during my time in office, and it'll continue to be.
Well, Mayor, I know the election's over, but it is scary that the leading contender right now to a city hall is someone that supports all this bail reform.
Yeah, you know, these things have taken place the last few years at the state legislature. My hope I guess I would say is that if someone who has a history of passing these things in the past has seen some of these things and then ends up in City Hall, will use that opportunity to speak to their colleagues in the state legislature to see what kind of changes can be made to rectify it.
I hope so. Hey, Mayor, always appreciate your time and talk soon, okay?
Thank you very much.
That is Mayor Chris Scanlon on the, really on bail reform. And here we go again. I mean, you know, time and time again, you've already got Buffalo that's having issues. Let's be honest. It's a city facing a $70 million deficit. And I mean, this is why people don't want to go into the city. This is why people aren't going downtown. Right. It's because of issues like this. And, you know, you've got the Sean Ryans of the world, right, telling you everything. It's a better place now because of bail reform. Everything's better now because of bail reform. I mean, this is a clear as day example of the flaws in bail reform, the flaws in the system. And I continue to say, until New York State changes something, the state of New York is for the criminal. And what I mean by that is the laws are to benefit the criminal, especially after bail reform. And you have innocent, law-abiding people suffering. Now, let's go back to 2 months ago. He broke into this woman's house with a gun. And 2 months later, thanks to the failures of New York State, she is dead. How are you going to talk your way out of that one, Sean Ryan? How are you going to talk your way out of that one, Kathy Hochul? Where does it end? What does it take? And like Mayor Scanlon said, and you know, that's I don't want to go back to the election, but that's why I like Mayor Scanlon. I wish she would have stayed on the ballot. I'm going to be brutally honest. I wish Scanlon would have stayed, ran an independent race. I think he could have won an election that more people are going to show up to the polls. I really do. I think he was the better candidate. He is the more rational candidate. He's not just a talking points candidate like Sean Ryan. But this is an effect of Sean Ryan's policies. And this guy is going, most likely, no offense to James Gardner, but this guy's going to be the next mayor of Buffalo. He's supporting legislation that is not only killing Buffalo, it's putting people's lives in danger. This woman, 2 months ago, her life was in danger. Today, she's dead. And that is on the politicians in Albany who refuse to do the right thing. Sean Ryan, you're one of them. I know you're radio silent on this one. The most likely next mayor of Buffalo doesn't want to comment on this one. Sorry, Joe. He's not available today. It's a shame. You know, this is the kind of thing where you put the politics aside, put your hatred for Trump aside. Right, Mark Poloncarz. I know that's really difficult for you to do, but put your hatred of Trump aside and look at, you got to do what's right. This woman should be alive today. She is dead because of the failed policies of this state. And you want to wonder why people aren't going to the city of Buffalo? You wonder why people are flocking out of here the first chance they can? This plays into it. This definitely plays into it. You cannot have laws that benefit the criminal. The laws have to be to protect. I mean, to protect everybody. Let's be honest. Everyone deserves to be protected by the law. But the criminal shouldn't get. I'm sorry. There's only so many chances you get. This man pled guilty to murder in 96. He got out. Okay. That was part of the sentence. 23 to life. He got out a little over 23 years. The minute he broke into her house with a gun, he should never have been back on the streets. This man should have been back there. You violated it. You had a chance. You're back. You're gone. It's now to life. And then he got arrested again
for violating an order of protection. I mean, how many chances does the state of New York think this guy deserves? And now he's on the loose. Thanks, Kathy Hochul. Thanks, Sean Ryan. Thanks, Mark Poloncarz. 803-0930, star 930. Dan and Tonawanda. Dan, your take on this situation and bail reform in general.
Well, Joel, this has been going on for across America for years. We talked about Niagara Falls a couple of weeks ago, and this is a direct effect of Niagara Falls. This bail reform just made it even worse. It's like taking a flamethrower to dry grass and starting all the grass on fire to see what happens with the trees around it and stuff. This bail reform, in my opinion, anybody that voted for it has blood on their hands, any politician that voted for it. If you ever get the chance to interview anybody, I don't care who it is, you should ask them, do they support it or do they vote for that? The last guy that was the guy that was just on the mayor, he was speaking great. I think, what a shame. What he is saying, he's spot on. Why wouldn't they keep him? Why wouldn't they want him to run for mayor? And they pick a guy that voted for bail reform. Bail reform is hurting the inner cities. It doesn't hurt cities like where I live in Tonawanda. I mean, we got a huge police force. And let's give the police big kudos, because how many times we hear every time that they arrest this guy multiple times, and who lets him out? It's the AG, it's the attorneys, or whoever's in charge. They always let him go, and they always say, well, we had to because of bail reform. Well, it's sickening that they're not speaking out about this bail reform, because people are getting killed. People are getting robbed, mugged. And what's going to happen? Buffalo has come a long way from when I was younger. When I was younger, it was really bad. And we're starting to slide backwards. And this bail reform is only going to make it worse. If we keep this up, it'll be like Niagara Falls. I went through Niagara Falls the other day, and I don't really want to stay on topic here, but, man, other than the state park, it's worse than I expected. I own a house there on Elmwood Street. It's horrible.
Nope.
Every house, the community looks like a war zone.
And Dan, just so
in Buffalo, we keep this up.
Just so you know, I'll let you finish. Just so you know, we are revisiting that Falls topic next week. That is, we're going to talk about it with Morinello on Sunday and revisit that topic next week. I just wanted to say, go ahead.
Well, that topic and this topic go hand in hand, because bail reform, you're letting these criminals out. Just like the mayor just said, nobody's going to want to come downtown and go to Shays or go out to eat if they don't feel comfortable. They can only have so many police that are on duty and that are, it's a big community. They're trying to canvass all of Buffalo, not just one area. Yes, they put more police on when they got a big concert, what have you, and you feel safe to go to those. But they don't just need people going down there for concerts. They need people going to restaurants. Bail reform is a huge mistake. They had President Clinton did three strikes you're out. In fact, Joe Biden voted for that. And they took that away because they said it was racist. I don't care what color you are. And I ain't a racist. My grandchildren are African-American. But I don't care what color you are. If you do the crime, then you should do the time, period. And this guy, how he was let out, again, those politicians, the AG, that let him out have blood on their hands, period.
I agree. I agree, Dan. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, this is the time to do the right thing. You know, people will, I mean, I'm sorry, you are going to politically be, it's New York State, so you probably won't politically pay, right? But just say you were wrong. Just admit this was wrong. It was feel good at the time. It's what a lot of states were doing. A lot of states have kind of gone back on their bail reform. New York State needs to do the right thing. And I know he won't be honest with us. He's not even going to come on the air with us. But I would be interested. Let's say Sean Ryan wins in November. And he's the mayor for a few months. I'd like to know, does he have the courage to admit, after seeing it from the perspective of the mayor, does he have the courage to admit he was wrong? Does he have the courage to go back to Albany and tell me and admit that this isn't working at the city level? It's so easy to say stuff from the legislature in Albany, but you don't have to walk too far out the Albany state legislature doors, because the mayor of Albany has called for a reforming of the bail reform. The Albany County District Attorney has called for a reforming of the bail reform. So you don't have to walk that far out of the state capitol to realize that even Democrats in the state, again, Democrats at the municipality level, are seeing this firsthand in seeing that it is dangerous, it is putting people's lives at risk, and it's scaring people from going and frequenting the businesses that you need to be frequented to revive your economy. So Sean Ryan, I'd love you to come on the show, number one. But number two, I would love to hear 3 months after being mayor and seeing things from the perspective of mayor. Because I think if you're being truthful with yourself and with your constituents, seeing it from City Hall should change your perspective. I think Mayor Scanlon, I think he's a very rational, reasonable person. Again, I know this is above politics, but I it's disappointing that Scanlon is not the candidate in the mayoral race, because I think he's 100% on this, and it's something that he's been advocating before he was mayor, and I hope whatever he does after being mayor, he continues on this. I hope he doesn't shut up about this, because he's right, and he needs to talk some sense into his party. But this was, I mean, this is another issue of why I think Sean Ryan is the wrong choice for mayor. And obviously we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks as well. But we'd love to have Sean Ryan on the show, 803-0930-930. When we come back, former DA here in Erie County, John Flynn, will join the show and give us his perspectives on bail reform and just how does this happen in simple person terms, because I am a simple person. How does this happen? What in the bail reform allows a man who was arrested, who was put in prison for murder, released, and then arrested on breaking into a home with a firearm? How does that man walk out again 2 months later, be in the situation that he was in, and unfortunately, a woman is dead? We'll talk with him after the news with Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Oh, welcome back. Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll be talking with former DA John Flynn momentarily, but we have another John who's been very patient during the news break here. We'd like to give him some time. John in Holland. John, thank you for hanging on.
Hey, Beamer, I'm loving this Triple B, as I've been calling it, switch up in the daytime, man. It's fantastic. Bellavia, Beamer, Bowerly, Triple B.
I'm glad you're enjoying the Bs.
It's my favorite letter of the alphabet. So I don't think that your last caller was wrong about what he's saying, but I don't think it's just the city anymore when we're talking about bail reform. One of the final things that pushed my family, my wife and our daughter, who's the same age as Baby Beamer, out of Cheektowaga was we had a guy who was casing cars on the street behind us, and he was hitting car windows with the butt end of a shotgun. Well, he ends up jumping a couple of fences, steals a kid's bike. He was picked up by Cheektowaga police at Walden in Harlem, obviously on, you know, attempted breaking, entering, whatever the case may be, and a weapons charge. Come to find out that that same guy had a warrant out for him in Warsaw in Wyoming County. They weren't going to take him back because it was another one of those, yep, a weapons charge. It was just a same-day release thing. So Cheektowaga was left with very little to do but let this guy right back out in my backyard. So same thing is happening in the first-ring suburbs. I don't think we're going to get real talk about bail reform until it starts actually affecting people that live deeper into these suburbs or second-ring suburbs, man. I mean, what just happened in Orchard Park is a great example of what we're going to start to see as people continue to not be held accountable for their actions.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and that's the unfortunate thing, John. Like you said, you're seeing it in Cheektowaga, and it's taking place in Orchard Park. It's going to spread out to the suburbs, and you would hope that that would put some pressure on Albany. But the problem is, I mean, if you're not getting enough pressure from the cities in New York State, you know, I mean, I just don't know what it will take for these individuals to admit they were wrong.
I think it really actually is going to come stemming out of the suburbs. Once they start to see that this crime is no longer centralized in their city corridors, that they're around, you know, it takes a lot to wake up the average suburbanite. There's a reason why everybody moved out to the suburbs. It's because it wasn't the city. Well, when you start bringing that element further and further outside of the city borders, I think it actually starts to wake enough people up to go, oh, crap, I need to call my representative and actually say that I am sick of this now. It just hasn't hit far enough out for it to really make an impact, I think. And unfortunately, the people that are affected by it on a regular basis are going to keep getting affected by it. And it hasn't been a week since that issue in Cheektowaga Town Park, and we've got that same thing happening in Orchard Park, and we've got this guy that we've known about who's repeated the same behavior pattern who should have just been sent back behind bars. But I guess you can't make every criminal a ward of the state when they don't have enough money to pay for it in the first place.
That's a great point. John, you like it out in Holland?
It is quiet, and that is what we were looking for. It's a different sense of community than living in the suburbs, to be perfectly honest. Because it's small, people go out of their way to reach out to one another. Honestly, in Cheektowaga, it felt like it was getting kind of lost because it's such a big suburb. The community element just didn't exist. And we saw it happen in our neighborhood in the 10 years that we were there. It just started deteriorating. Oh. There was no more of the look out for your neighbor because they're going to look out for you. It was people just hiding in their homes with their little cameras on their doorbell. I'm not even kidding you. It was such a change of pace to go, yeah, no, everybody actually wants to know who's around them. I didn't feel like I wanted to know anybody around me when I was living in the suburbs. And I grew up Depew, Cheektowaga, yeah. Lived in the city for my entire life up until last year.
Hey, John, that's a great topic for another day. Appreciate the call as always, John, in Holland. We now go to the former DA in Erie County, John Flynn. Hey, John, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Joe, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right. Let's talk about the no bail and how that played in this case, John. So this was a man who was released in 23 after being found guilty of pleading guilty to second degree murder in 96. He gets out of jail and then he breaks 2 years later. He breaks into the woman he was seeing's house with a gun, arrested. How is that guy let back on the street?
Well, you talked about it, you know, when I was listening to you here in the last segment there a little bit. I mean, we have a bail reform system here now, or a bail system here that has been in existence now for 5 years now, that came into effect in 2020, that quite frankly is not only failing our community, Joe, but it is failing every resident in New York State. And that is one of many problems that we have, you know, regarding the criminal justice system. But we have a society now where the term accountability and responsibility are missing, and they're missing. Those two words and that those two concepts, in my opinion, are not only missing in our criminal justice system, but they are missing in our entire culture. And so, you know, there's a lot to this. You know, my understanding in this case right here, a lot of things happened here. First of all, just to be fair, okay, the Buffalo Police Department used a phrase and a word today in their press conference, and so I want to be careful that, you know, that our listeners understand this. You know, they initially used the word or phrase "person of interest," and then a little later on in their press conference they said "suspect." Okay, now again, those are kind of semantics. All right. You know, when I was DA, I would use the phrase "person of interest" kind of in a literal sense where, you know, hey, I'm not sure this guy did it or this girl did it, but I'm interested in this person. OK, when I use the word "suspect," that takes it up a notch, in my opinion, where, you know, it's a little bit more than a person of interest. If you're a suspect, then again, literally the word "suspect" means that I suspect this person of doing it. Okay, that's a little bit of a difference in, you know, he might have, or I think he did it. Okay, you know, so again, whether it's a person of interest or a suspect, you know, right? This particular individual was convicted of murder back in 1996. He was given a 25-year-to-life sentence. So the way this works is that when you hit year 25, actually a little bit before that, because you get time for good time, okay? But let's just use round numbers here, all right? When you hit year 25, okay, which in this case would have been 2021, given time for good time, okay, year 2020, you are now eligible to get out. Okay. And he was let out on parole in 2020. So this particular individual here did really the minimum amount of time on his 25-year-to-life sentence. Okay. He did just the 25 years. Okay. And then got out. So now he's out on parole in 2020. Apparently he was released from parole in 2023. All right. So he was let out a little early on parole because parole would normally go to 2025. Okay. But he was let, it appears, and again, I haven't seen the file, so I'm speculating on that, but I do know that he was paroled in 2023, like you said. Okay. So now he's in 2023, Joe, he's free and clear. Okay. He's got nothing hanging over his head at all. I mean, yeah, granted, he's a convicted felon. He's a convicted murderer, okay? So he's got that, like, you know, scarlet letter, you know, seared on his chest, all right? But beside that, from a legal standpoint, he's clear. Now we fast forward 2 years later now to 2025, to May, you know, 2 months ago. And he is, you know, he gets arrested in a domestic violence charge, arrested for burglary, having a gun, you know, this involvement with this particular woman, all right, who unfortunately was murdered last night, okay? So now he gets arrested in May, 2 months ago, and the DA's office, rightfully so, asks for remand. No bail. He sits in jail. Well, the judge put bail on him. The judge put $50,000 bail on him, okay, gave a number. When the DA didn't ask for that, the DA said, no number, judge, keep him in jail. The judge put a number on him, 50 grand, and he made the bail, okay? All right, now he makes a bail. Within my understanding, allegedly, within 2 weeks, he goes back to the same woman, okay, and harasses her. and violated the order of protection that was given in the first arrest back in May. All right. So now he comes back to the judge, okay, on the second offense now. And again, the DA asks for bail again. Now, again, remind you, Joe, this second offense is not bail eligible, okay? It was only a violation of the order of protection, okay? That's not bail eligible. But because he was out on bail in the first offense, it made it bail eligible, all right? So in terms of bail reform, there's really nothing wrong here in this case because, again, the second one he was bail eligible on, okay? But the judge released him, though. The judge disregarded the DA's recommendation, and the judge released him on his own recognizance. And then, you know, again, we don't know whether he did it or not today. He's a person of interest or a suspect, okay? But now here we are, you know, 2 months later on July 17th, and this morning this poor woman gets murdered. So, I mean, again, there's a lot to talk about there as far as, you know, what's wrong in our criminal justice system from, you know, letting someone out right away at 25 years. Again, remember, he was sentenced to 25 to life, okay? He, you know, you can make the argument he should have been in prison for life, all right? But, you know, the parole board system let him out at 25 years. And then he was released on parole early, okay? That's obviously something we can talk about, okay? And then here we are 2 years later, and now this poor girl's dead. And so, you know, many things here, Joe.
Yeah, so John, the first one, the one in May when he's arrested and the DA says, hey, we want to keep him, and the judge says no. Before the bail reform, would the judge have had that opportunity to override the DA?
Yes, but here's the main difference, though, Joe. The judge always has the opportunity to override a DA, okay? The judges decide bail. Not DAs, okay?
Right.
But here's the main difference. Before 2020, before bail reform started on January 1st, 2020, there was really no kind of overriding guideline from a 30,000-foot level, a macro level, okay, as to what the mantra of bail was all about, okay? It was each individual case. It was obviously predicated upon a flight risk analysis, all right? That was the kind of way bail worked generally, okay? Come January 1st, 2020, when they passed a law in 2019, the New York State Legislature, in the statute of bail reform, mandated that judges going forward on January 1st, 2020, use the least restrictive means necessary or possible when determining to set bail. So that mantra of least restrictive means now, okay, was put in place by the New York State Legislature, okay, signed by Governor Cuomo, and took effect on January 1st, 2020, which now kind of governs every judge in New York State on every case that's bail eligible. You know, even if a case is bail eligible, you're supposed to use the least restrictive means, okay? Now, what does that mean on a micro level? Like, you know, in real life, the least restrictive means, if you're a judge, okay, is what is the least amount of thing I can do here in order to keep this guy out of jail? Because again, remember that's what they want here. Okay. No, the criminal defense bar, the criminal defense advocates, you know, social justice advocates, they're the one who wrote the bill back in 2019. Okay. And they're the ones that wrote the legislation up, you know, put it on the senators and assembly members' desk, okay, that got passed in 2019. And what do those people want? The activists who are for criminal justice reform and social justice, what do they want? They want everyone out of jail. they think that bail is bad. Okay. And so when you have a concept now of least restrictive means, that's kind of hanging over judges' heads, then the judge is going to say, well, the least restrictive means here is the DA saying keep him in, the defense lawyer saying let him out. Well, I've got to kind of gear toward the defense, the defense lawyer here, and I'm going to put a number on him of, in this case, it was $50,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the big difference.
John, I got 30 seconds and two questions. With the background he had, how did he not get jail time for an unlicensed gun charge? And number two, why even file an order of protection if it's not bail eligible?
Well, first question is that the case in May is still pending. Okay, both of those cases that happened in May and then 2 weeks later, they have not been adjudicated yet. They're still pending. All right, so he was basically out on bail when this happened, this morning. Okay, so that's answer question number one. Number two is that they always put an order of protection on a case whenever there's a domestic violence case. All right, so when he got arrested initially. Back in May, they're gonna the DA is gonna ask for an order of protection to make sure that the person doesn't go back and do something else to this girl. Now, obviously, an order of protection is just a piece of paper, and unfortunately, a piece of paper cannot save a life.
No, hey, former DA John Flynn, John, always great catching up with you. I hate doing it under these circumstances, but I know we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir, Joe.
That is former District Attorney John Flynn on this case. We'll continue covering this. You'll hear updates at the top of the hour with Tom Puckett. And Tom Bowerly is up next here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.